You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
There have been so many people who have helped me and showed me that doing the right thing is always the best situation. Everyone has kind of nurtured me and made me feel like I belong and has like kind of made me into the man that I am today, you know? I look back at photos that like 18-year-old Tomas and think like, who is that?
Hey, what's going on? It's me, Roscoe, founder and host of Built for the Stage, an online training program that helps actors train like athletes. If you're an actor, you're an athlete, so start training like one. If you want to go to the website, builtforthestage.com, we can get you started with a one-week trial and help you jumpstart your journey in this little show called Your Life. All right, we have an amazing guest. As always, we're super excited to be talking to him today. On our show is Tomas Matos. Welcome, Tomas.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey. Where are you calling in from right now?
I'm actually in Manhattan, in Chelsea right now, just living my best life.
Living the best life indeed that we can nowadays, right?
Yeah, you know, things are starting to like lift up slightly, so...
We are on this little thing called Squadcast. Just wanted to shout them out. Our email is info@builtforthestage.com if you want to inquire about being our official sponsor. Okay, Squadcast, thank you so much. Bye. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing on this hiatus, as I'm sure you've been eagerly waiting to get back to the stage in Diana, the musical.
Yeah, well... Since everything shut down in the beginning of March, I've kind of just like been taking this time for myself really and focusing on the things that I can benefit from while also staying home and safe. So a lot of mental health stuff and a lot of physical health stuff to like really boost who I am in this time, because might as well, right?
There's a lot of time for that to be done for sure. So you were in the midst of prepping to make your Broadway debut in Diana, correct?
I was.
Tell us, just give us some real talk on how, you know, difficult that was to be in the midst of previews and then this all happening, the shutdown.
Well, I mean, it was very upsetting. But luckily I like have all of the faith in my company and my cast and the producers and the show itself, that I have something to go back to, which is really fortunate. I know, like, as everyone has heard in the world, that like Frozen is closing, which is really upsetting. I'm just really lucky and blessed to say that like once everything does settle down, I have Diana to go back to. And the Broadway debut might have been suspended, but girl, she's still going on Broadway. So.
I love that. Tell us about that journey. So here at Built for the Stage, we're all about a fitness journey or just a journey of self-betterment and the ups and downs of it. Maybe go back. Let's start at kind of the beginning of how you got into musical theater. Were you always training to be a performer, or when did this come about?
Okay. So I am from New York City. So I went to high school at LaGuardia High School in Lincoln Center. And I was a dance major, so I have a dance foundation that is my like background. So I'm a concert dancer, but I love musical theater and I just love performing and I love singing. So I would do musical theater outside of my dance school. That's kind of like my balance. I like have the dance foundation, but my love is in musical theater. So that's where I kind of wanted to flourish. So after I graduated high school, I like jumped on a cruise ship, did a musical, a fabulous musical called Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. And the musical theater career just started to take off. And now I'm on Broadway.
And Now here you are on Broadway. That's so great that, you know, you had that opportunity in high school to actually have a concentration in something in the arts, like to really dive into, you know. Usually in a quote-unquote normal school, you know, you just have that opportunity to maybe you take a class for a semester or, you know, so that was great that you really were able to dive in. Was it really that easy? You just graduated, you got on a boat, you got off the boat, and then you were on Broadway? Or was there any tough times that might have happened during that?
Oh my God. I mean, yes. For starters, I was a really bad kid in high school to the point where I would skip all of my academic classes and just show up for dance and think that I was a bad girl, you know? So that was a bit hard, trying to realize that I can't just get away with everything. So once I graduated high school, I did the cruise ship. That really helped me gain some professionalism that I might have not been able to grow or experience because I did just jump into the industry. So that was really nice. And after the cruise ship, of course, there are definitely hardships that happen with auditions and being so green and being an 18-year-old in an audition room, with everyone around you being so much older than you. And yeah, there were definitely some hard times, but I mean, I think with those hard times and with the struggles that I did face, I am a lot stronger and much more of a professional than I am right now. So
what was a tough audition story that you had to learn from? What was an experience that in the beginning when you started auditioning in a professional setting that you were oh, woof, I just learned a lesson today?
Oh my God, so many. I think one that is so embarrassing that it took so long for me to be okay, calm down about that situation. I was auditioning for Kinky Boots. I was 18. And in the audition, they were okay, if you can do a back handspring in heels, do one. And literally everyone in that room was I can do it. I got it. And I was one of the only ones who was left who didn't do it. So I was girl, I'm going to do this. So I tried it. And it went more of it was just bad.
Was it a backhand flop or?
Yeah, I fully fell. I mean, as gracefully as I thought I fell, girl, my knees hurt.
Had you ever done a backhand spring before that day?
I mean, I've tried and I've taken gymnastics classes at Chelsea Piers, but girl, absolutely not. I've never taken a heels back handspring class because no.
And did anyone run to your aid immediately? Was the moment where everyone went, ooh?
It was really who is that? Everyone was why is he here?
And how did you get over it? How did you move on after that day?
I mean, it took so much of me being one experience is not going to tarnish the rest of your career, especially at such a young age. You can get wrapped into one bad experience because that's one of the only ones that you have, you know? So I just kind of had to put it on the back burner, realize that that one experience fueled me to keep going to gymnastics classes, fueled me to keep trying to be a better performer. And I still cannot do a back handspring in heels, but there's a fierce cartwheel on that resume.
There you go. What kind of fun things or challenging things are you doing on the stage in Diana right now?
There's a whole lot of singing. I am belting my face, hitting that tenor two line real strong. It's a really vocal heavy show, which is something that has pushed me and made me grow so much that as a dancer fundamentally has made me a singer. And I have such a strong singing range now that I never really had. And I'm thankful for the creative team and the musical direction of the Diana company because girl, this voice is strong now.
There are many themes or just messages within this particular show. What is one that really resonates with you and stands out with you on a daily basis?
I think Diana in her time was such a leader and that she was this person that everyone looked up to. And in that, in her reign, she always just constantly strived to be and make everyone else around her such a better person. And I think that always choosing to be good and always choosing the right instead of the wrong is definitely something that Princess Diana had. And I strive to be like her in that way. I mean, I think she was such a beautiful person inside and out with all the things that have happened with her. Yeah, I just think she was an icon. And I don't really think that there was anyone else like her, which is amazing, you know?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
With learning lessons from others like Diana or just the show, who in your cast, either right now or previously, with you being a young performer, who has helped you along the way? Who has shown you the ropes? Who has been a great impact for you as far as just, you know, getting used to the ropes and just learning the ropes?
Oh my God. So many people from Mark Rowland, who I did Priscilla, Queen of the Desert with, to like Gina DeWall, who's currently playing Diana. Like, there have been so many people who have helped me and showed me that doing the right thing is always the best situation. I have so many people. There is like, everyone has kind of nurtured me and made me feel like I belong and has like kind of made me into the man that I am today, you know? I look back at photos that like 18-year-old Tomas and think like, who is that? Because I am just like such a different person, and it's thankful. I have all of the gratitude for all of the people that I've been able to work with because they have really, truly made me.
What's one of those practices that you've seen from them that you can apply to your work ethic, or that you do apply to your work ethic when you're in the room or when, you know, you're in between shows? What's something that daily or weekly, something consistently that has benefited you as a performer?
So I really like to think of Gina whenever I like feel stressed or a little anxious about a situation, because she does this really fierce thing where like she sees the room and then she clasps her hands together and then says, okay, I am here. This is the moment that I'm currently in. And she is just such a grounding force that whenever I feel like I like don't have control of a situation, I always just think of her and how she would react, which is a crazy thing to do because like she is just another person just like who I am and just like who you are, you know? But like, it is really amazing to like have people like Gina to look up to, you know? I one day cannot wait for the day where I'm able to like have so much confidence and power to lead my own musical. So
I love that. Yeah. In fitness and life, in a career of theater, the company you keep is so important, and the things that, you know, are shown in front of you to create habits are who we are. Habits are everything, and learning habits like that from Gina are so valuable. And also going back to you and that, you know, funny little story you shared about Kinky Boots, that life goes on, the career goes on, ups and downs will happen. You'll put on some pounds, you'll lose some pounds, you'll get an injury, you'll overcome the injury. The important part is that we just keep moving forward, for sure.
Yeah.
When we do move forward and you get back on that stage, or you just get back to reality, one thing I've been liking to ask our guests is, what do you look forward to getting back to? And then the other question is, what is something that you're going to leave behind? So like for me, being without certain things by force has actually shown me that when we go back to normal, I'm not going to go back to those things.
Yeah.
So what do you got? What can't you wait to get back? And what are you also going to let go at the same time?
I cannot wait to get back to seeing people every day. I miss like physical interactions with my cast and with my best friends. And I'm so excited to like be able to be closer than 6 feet to everyone. That's going to be an amazing day. Something that I'm probably going to leave behind. I don't know. I think I've been really taking this time to like, to try to strengthen myself in any way possible, and specifically like mentally, so that I do like come out of this cocoon of a quarantine, a butterfly, which has been my thing every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I would have to leave behind the self-doubt and the worry and the negative energy that might surround me. And just fully full force, like head out there with all the positive energy that I can.
When are times when you make the decision to not be in a cocoon, but you decide to be in a cave of hibernation? So one thing, I don't know if you've caught this with me talking to the Bill for the Stage fam about, are you in a cocoon of blossoming, of being innovative, of growing? Or are you in a cave of purposeful restoration, of hibernation? Because sometimes we need to grow, we need to push forward. And then there's those other times when we need to take a step back. And I think that's even more difficult for some of us to play that dance of, when do I move forward? And when am I not making an excuse, but I'm actually making an intentional effort to take a step back? So maybe if you ever had an example of like when you did take that step back of like, all right, I'm not going to focus so much about on my craft or on my fitness, but I just need some me time.
Yeah, I love that. I think that is so important to personal growth, being able to like step back, take a moment for yourself and just really relax, you know? I think that is something that this quarantine has 100% showed us, because we're always so go, go, go. And like, we have to get to the next thing, and we have to like get to the next audition, and we have to do this, and we have to be better because that is our job, you know? But it is really, really nice. And it feels good to just kind of like calm down for a moment. So like, in a way, my cocoon has been a hibernation cave, you know? It's going to take time for this baby to grow.
Absolutely. What was one either performer or musical experience that set the tone for you growing up? For me, I've been seeing a lot of stuff from Norbert Leo Butts on Instagram, and all I can remember is me in my pickup truck at age 16 listening to him in Wicked or Last 5 Years when I was 18, you know, like him just kind of like, with obviously not intentionally, he had no idea, but he was just paving the way for my passion into theater. One thing that sets you afire when you were younger, and what's one thing now that keeps that fire going?
I think when I was younger, especially in high school, my junior year, I did a production of In the Heights, and we were lucky enough to actually get to sit down and speak to the original cast. So Lin-Manuel came, and the rest of the cast came and sat and talked to us. And that really just made a world of a difference for me to like put into perspective people who look like me and people who are performing and living their dreams and making a life out of it, you know, and also taking that and taking a stand in the world. I mean, like, the amount of love and the amount of change that Lynn has made into our industry, it drives me to do even more.
So, Tomas, that's going to be our interview for today. I'm going to be checking up on your workouts. You better make sure you keep putting the work in, okay?
I try.
Tomas puts the work in, and when he puts the work in, he does it in such a fun, entertaining way. He always puts a smile to my face. Congratulations to you for dreaming and now living a dream. So I can't wait to see you on the stage in Diana, and yeah. I can't wait for everyone else to bust open the doors of Broadway to see amazing performers like Tomas on the stage. So thanks so much for being on the podcast again.
Thank you. I love being here and I love talking with you.
All right, guys, that's going to do it on Built for the Stage podcast. Once again, if you like the podcast, make sure you subscribe, rate, leave a comment. This podcast is produced by the Broadway Podcast Network, so you can check that out on bpn.fm. If you want to check out Built for the Stage on the website, you can go to bpn.fm/Built for the Stage. If you want to try that 1 week trial, make sure to go to our website, builtforthestage.com. Go to Instagram at Built for the Stage. Give us a follow. Make sure you give Tomas a follow as well. It's Tomatoes, TOMATOS_. So give him a follow on the gram as well. All right, guys. It's me, Roscoe, signing off.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.